Jesus turned and he told him, "Behold thy mother," speaking of Mary. And to Mary he said, "Behold thy son." He was not ashamed. And I don't think it is a coincidence, but of all of the apostles, John is the only one that did not die some kind of tragic, horrible death. Some died by crucifixion. Others died by being stretched upon a rack. Various and sundry ways that they gave themselves for the cause of Jesus Christ. But they could not even kill John. That history tells us that they boiled his body in oil. But he did not die. Not only was John faithful to God, but evidently God was faithful to John and gave to him what we know today as the revelation of Jesus Christ, to reveal to the church the things that would shortly come to pass and that would bring about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth again. I'm thankful tonight for men who are unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men who with holy boldness will stand up and preach the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Unwavering and uncompromising. And proclaiming the one true God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Because there is only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except by me." That only by Jesus Christ can we have an entrance into the kingdom of God. And so I am not ashamed to preach Jesus. I am not ashamed to lift up the name of the Lord. Praise God. I am not ashamed to be His disciple, or to follow in His ways, to follow in His precepts, to follow in His doctrine. I'm not ashamed to identify with the gospel of repentance and water baptism in His name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, because it's the only gospel that will save. The Apostle Paul said, "If I or an angel from heaven come and preach to you any other gospel than what I preach, let him be accursed." I am not ashamed. And the apostles were not ashamed after the Holy Ghost came upon them. Men who once ran in terror for their lives. Men who once cursed and denied that they had ever been with Jesus. Stood up and boldly preached Jesus and Him crucified. Peter said, "This same Jesus that you took with cruel hands and hung upon a tree, God hath exalted and made Him both Lord and Christ." And they were pricked in their heart and they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children." I thank God that we have a promise tonight that outlived the apostles. We have a promise tonight that outlived the first century church. The Bible said this promise is to you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Can you say praise the Lord? That they were unashamed and unafraid to proclaim Jesus. The Bible tells us in Luke 24 and verses 45 through 49. "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures." I want you to know that God wants you to understand the Scripture. The Word of God is not some kind of mystic book that hides the truth from those that would reach out and touch it or search after it or desire it with their heart. But the Word of God is open. The Word of God is crystal clear. The Word of God is so plain that a fool, though a wayfaring man, should not err therein. Oh, amen. John the Baptist prepared the way. He lifted out the stones. He made the way for the Son of God to come and be the Savior of the world. And he preached repentance from sin and baptism for the remission of sins. Amen. And Jesus Christ Himself came, though He knew no sin. Though He did not need forgiveness, the Bible says He came and He said to John, I must needs be baptized of you in water. And John said, I'm not worthy. He said, I'm the one that needs to be baptized. But Jesus said, no, you must baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. And He baptized him. He buried him in the Jordan River. And when he come up out of the water, the Bible said the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. How many believe that Jesus was setting an example for the church? Jesus didn't need forgiveness of sins. Jesus didn't need to be baptized. Jesus didn't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost was in Him. All the fullness of the Godhead was in Him bodily. He was full of the Holy Ghost from His mother's womb. In fact, the Bible says He was conceived by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And that was born of her was of the Holy Ghost. But God manifested His grace. God manifested His love when the Holy Ghost descended. The Bible said not only did the Holy Ghost descend, but it abode upon Him. Amen. God wants to abide in us. God doesn't just want to visit you, but God wants to live in your heart. God wants to have an abiding presence through the power of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children. Amen. To be unashamed and unafraid, they had to be endued with power from on high. Jesus told them, He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and I want you to tarry there until you be endued with power from on high. Because I am going to send the promise of the Father. Oh, thank God that the promise of Jesus Christ is yea and amen. Amen. That what Jesus Christ promised, amen, He will in no wise, amen, turn around or back up. But what He promised to do, He will do. And they awaited the promise of the Father. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one mind and in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Yes, this is the promise and the hope to all that will believe in Jesus. And so the Lord said, amen. Then open He their eyes, their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that, oh, I like this. Hallelujah. I hope your Bible, amen, reads like this Bible. In the 47th verse of Luke chapter 24, Jesus said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Did it happen in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? They began to preach repentance and remission of sins. How did they proclaim it? In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus said that He had all power in heaven and earth. Amen. It's because of His authority that we can invoke that name. Because His name is not just an ordinary name. Matthew 28:19, amen, gives us the reason why the name of Jesus has so much power and so much authority. Because it's the name of the Father. It's the name of the Son. It's the name of the Holy Ghost. The whole family in heaven and earth is by that name. It's the name of Jesus. Let's worship the Lord. Let's glorify God tonight. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. He said it's going to happen. Amen. It's the will of God that repentance and remission of sins should be preached. Amen. It's not just a historical fact. It's not just something, amen, that He intended to happen one time. But it is to be preached in His name, beginning at Jerusalem. That's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. That's where it's all going to start. But it's going to go to the end of the world. It's going to go to the islands of the sea, that My name is going to be proclaimed. And wherever My name is preached, amen, people are going to come to repentance. They're going to be buried in My name. They're going to be filled with My Spirit, that they might be a part of the kingdom of God. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Then He said, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. How long should we tarry when we're seeking God until you're filled with the Spirit? Amen. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a long process. You don't have to pray for years to get the Holy Ghost. You don't even have to pray for months or even weeks, amen, to receive this greatest gift of eternal life. My father, who didn't know anything about this message, wasn't raised in this Pentecostal way, but he had a hunger for more of God. Came down to an apostolic Pentecostal altar. Amen. When he was just a young man going to college. And in less than 5 minutes, he was speaking in an unknown language that he had never known before. Why? Because the promises of God are yea and amen. That God's Word is still true. If it was true, amen, 2,000 years ago, it's still true today. It will be true tomorrow and after the next day, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's worship and praise the Lord. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You can believe in Jesus Christ tonight. You can believe that His Word is true. You can believe that His promise is undeniable, that it cannot in any way be wiped out, because the Word of God is faithful. that if you call upon that name, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll call on Jesus Christ in faith, that He will bring salvation to your house. That God is a faithful God. They were unashamed and unafraid. They proclaimed the Word of God. Let's go back to our text in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. The Bible says that they begin to preach Jesus and miracles begin to take place. They preached Jesus and the devils had to flee. They cast out demons in the name of Jesus. They laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Amen. Blind eyes were opened. Deaf ears were unstopped. The Bible says that so great was the manifestation of God's power that the mere shadow of Peter falling upon some of them caused them to be set free, to be healed by the power of God. Well, that's power. How many would like to see that kind of power? I would love to see the day that people had so much faith in the power of God that they didn't even have to come up to the front to be anointed and prayed for to receive their healing. But they would be healed while they sat upon the pew. They'd be healed while they were making their way down to the front. They would be healed while they reached their hands up to God in faith. Why? Because God is bigger than anything that we have ever known. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. We've got to have the power working in us. Evidently, the early church had the power of God working in them. The Holy Ghost wasn't just some kind of badge that they wore that set them apart. It wasn't something that made them a part of an elite number. No, they didn't consider themselves to be anything. They didn't consider themselves to be special. Amen. They were just thankful that God had made them worthy. The Holy Ghost was something that God gave them so that they could use it to set men free. It was a power that God put within them to give their testimony to a lost world. The Bible says, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. If you got the Holy Ghost tonight, that God gave you His Spirit, amen, that you might release the power, that you might move in the Holy Ghost, that you might be able to perform the things that He did. And He said, these things and even greater shall you do because I go to my Father. That's why Jesus gave us the Holy Ghost. Amen. Not so that we could shout and run and dance. Amen. I can shout and run and dance. Amen. Because I feel liberty. Amen. But God gave me the Holy Ghost to be a witness. God gave me the Holy Ghost so that I could pray a prayer of faith. God gave me the Holy Ghost so people could be delivered and are bound in bondage to sin. God gave me the Holy Ghost to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that is going astray. God empowered us to do His will. And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses. That includes everybody. Everybody that received the Holy Ghost, you are commissioned to be a witness. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We're not in Jerusalem. Amen. We're not in Judea. We're not in Samaria. but we're in the uttermost part of the earth. And God is still working in the uttermost part. God is still pouring out His Spirit in the uttermost part. God is still alive today in the uttermost part. He is pouring His Spirit out upon whosoever, amen, will hear the call for salvation. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Don't expect everybody to respond favorably when you choose to be used of God. How many want to be used of God? To be used of God, you need to be empowered by the Spirit. The disciples, no doubt, they wanted to start proclaiming the kingdom of God right away. But Jesus said, no, you're not ready. You're not equipped. He said, I want you to first go to Jerusalem and tarry there a while. How long we got to wait? Until you're endued with power. That God is not going to send out a delegation that is powerless against the enemy. But He's going to send out a group of believers that is powerful because of their faith and their confidence in the name of the Lord, in their God, and by the Spirit of their God, that He wants to empower you. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Praise God. We don't go in our own power, but we go in His power. We don't go in our own name, we go in His name. And we're unashamed. And we're unafraid. But don't expect everybody to respond favorably. When you choose to be used of God, when you choose to be used of God, there are going to be people that resent you. There are going to be oppositions against the work of God. As soon as you make up your mind that you're going to serve the Lord, that's when the ugly spirits are going to rise up in the world and they're going to contend against you. But I want you to know that greater is He that is within you and He that is within the world. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against God's church. And they didn't all react favorably to the apostles. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of God began working among them. And that by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. One of the main reasons why God was with them is because they were in one mind and they were in one accord. There was unity. And wherever there's unity and there is faith, there's going to be move of God. There's going to be revival. There's going to be a display of God's sovereignty and power. And the Bible says that wonders and signs were wrought. And of the rest, there's no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes. I want you to know that it was never the will of God for the church to just barely survive. It was never the will of God for His church to be weak and anemic and powerless. That's not the church that I read about in the Bible. Amen. And if this is not that church, I don't want to be a part of anything but that church. Amen. I want this church to be like that church. If we're going to have that kind of Holy Ghost, if we're going to have that kind of revival, if we're going to have that kind of commitment, that kind of holy boldness, we're going to have to be unashamed and unafraid. We're going to have to preach the Word of God without fear and without apology. Can I get an amen from somewhere tonight? Everybody's not going to like the message. I'm afraid too many churches have begun to tamper with the message and try to make it more popular. They've tampered with the message to make it more palatable to those that are more earthly minded, more pleasure oriented, more materialistic in their way of thinking. But the kind of church that God is going to bless, the kind of church that God was in the midst of in the book of Acts, was a church that had no interest in materialism. They had no interest in worldly things. That their primary purpose is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To preach the Word of God without fear and without shame. Amen, that they might do the will of God. Some of people are going to react in envy and jealousy when you desire to be used of God. If you have not battled the spirit of envy and jealousy, then maybe you're not doing anything for God. Amen. Because when you start tearing down the devil's playhouse, he's not just going to sit there and watch. When you start attacking the devil, he's not going to say, "That's okay. I never really wanted this territory anyhow." The devil's going to do everything he can to prevent you from having revival. The devil's going to do everything that he can from you being used of God. The devil's going to do everything he can to discourage you, to cause you to look down upon yourself. But I want you to know, it's time to square your shoulders. It's time for you to shout, amen, with the voice of triumph, because God has given you authority over the forces of hell. Amen. There's not enough devils in hell to keep us from having victory if we want to live for God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And while others react in one way or another, others will feel threatened or afraid because they don't always understand the moving of God. There are a lot of people that don't want to get involved in the gifts of the Spirit because they're afraid that it will be something that is beyond their understanding. Well, I don't understand it. I don't even claim to understand why God chooses to work like He works. All I know is that God chooses to work in the supernatural, that God chooses to work by the power of the Spirit. I don't know how God works. I don't know what God wants to do, but I want to know, amen, that I'm in the will of God and that God is working through me. Amen. You don't try to figure out God. You'll never figure God out. Amen. You'll never figure out God. So don't be afraid of a move of God. Don't be afraid of the gifts of the Spirit. Don't be afraid when God begins to perform miracles and signs. Don't be afraid when God begins to break bonds and chains that have held people in bonds. Don't be afraid, because that's what God does. That's God's purpose. That's God's will. It's not His will for people to be in bondage. Hallelujah. Amen. Just let God be God. You've got to be more concerned about doing the will of God than you are about the reactions of what people are going to think. If you worry about what people think, you'll never do anything for God. If you worry about what the world thinks, you'll never stand for what's real and what really matters. But don't worry about what people are going to say or how people are going to react. Your primary purpose is to fulfill the plan and the purpose and the will of God for your life. Amen. And so don't measure, amen, the reaction of the crowd. Don't measure the reaction of those that are not spiritual, but dare to believe God for things that are supernatural. The apostles just kept on doing the work of God. And the Bible says, and believers were the more added. And multitudes, both of men and women, verse 15 says, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Oh, I want you to know, friend, that when God begins to work, when the Holy Ghost begins to move, that things begin to take place that we don't understand. But it's not given to us to understand. It's just given to us to believe and receive what God would do for the church. Hallelujah. The apostles preached Jesus and miracles were performed. There were members of the Sanhedrin that were filled with jealousy. They became jealous because they were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the nation. There were 70 men that made up the Sanhedrin, both Sadducees and Pharisees. And they were the ruling establishment that everything had to pass through them. Everything had to meet their approval. And what was happening didn't meet their approval. They didn't like what was taking place in the streets. They didn't like the message that they were proclaiming. They didn't like the fact that they were preaching about one named Jesus who had the power to raise the dead, because they were the ones that crucified Him. They were the ones that condemned Him to die. And these men were bringing that man's blood upon them. They didn't like it a bit because the finger of accusation pointed squarely in their favor. When you begin to preach Jesus, there are people that are not going to like what you preach, because it means that they're going to have to change their way of living. They're going to have to change their way of talking. They're going to have to change their way of dressing. They're going to have to change the way they think, the way they act. They're going to have to change their attitude about God. They're going to have to change their attitude about their neighbors. But friend, it don't matter what we've got to change. If God does the changing, it's all right. Because we got to change to be more like Him. They weren't happy with what the apostles were proclaiming. And so they attempted to discredit their message. Anytime the devil doesn't like what the church is doing, he'll do everything to attack the messenger. He'll do everything that he can to attack the body of Christ, to discredit the messengers, amen, that bring the gospel. And so the apostles were put in jail. They rounded them up. Now it wasn't just Peter. We remember Peter. I remember Peter being put in jail. But they didn't just jail Peter. They jailed all of them. And there were 12 of them, because Matthias was chosen to take Judas Iscariot's place. All 12 of the apostles were thrown into jail. And they were made secure so they couldn't get out. But they don't know the power of my God. The Bible says that in the night, that the angel of the Lord made a trip down to the jailhouse. And he had the keys to the jail in his pocket. Oh, hallelujah. They had them locked up. They had them secured. There wouldn't be no more preaching. There wouldn't be no more Holy Ghost. But the angel of the Lord unlocked the jail. And he let them out. Amen. It's time to let out. Amen. The power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's time to release the power that God has placed within us. That we can do the work of God. Amen. God wants us to be the church. God doesn't want the church to be all bound up and restricted. God doesn't want us to be bound by fear. God doesn't want you to be bound up by what you think your neighbor's going to think about you. Amen. We might think a little more of you if you got a little bit more apostolic. Amen. If things begin to happen that resembled the book of Acts. Amen. We might feel a little bit more comfortable. Amen. About coming to the house of God, because that's what God wants the church to be. The church filled with the Holy Ghost. And so the angel of the Lord let them out. But he didn't just let them out so they could go home and log on to Facebook. No, they didn't go home. And they weren't Twittering either. Amen. But the angel of the Lord commanded them to preach and teach the message of life to those that would hear the gospel. Did not the Bible tell us, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost"? Come on. Isn't that the commission? We're to proclaim Jesus. He said, "I want you to preach of the new life that is in Jesus Christ." And so they did exactly that. The next thing you know, they are gathered about Solomon's porch. And the apostles, not just Peter, but they're all preaching Jesus. They're all teaching about Jesus. Amen. Without any fear of man. Without any fear or of repercussions. My goodness, they had already thrown them in jail. What more could they do? Because God, amen, is greater than the power of man. Amen. God had already overrode what man could do. They weren't afraid of the jail. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the angel of the Lord had the keys. Praise God. I want you to know God has the key to unleashing revival. That God has the key in bringing hope to those that have no hope. That God has the key of bringing salvation, of bringing healing, to bringing blessing to those that will look to Him in faith. And so it came time to send for the apostles. And so the Sanhedrin said, "Go down and bring them." Well, this is going to be a very quick case. I imagine it was going to be one of those open and shut cases. They were guilty before they were ever tried. This was going to be a kangaroo court if there ever was one. But when they went down to the jailhouse to bring the prisoners, surprise! There wasn't nobody there. Woo! Amen. Wouldn't that, shake up Henderson County Jail? Amen. If some apostolics broke out in the middle of the night. Praise God. They said, "You know them folks that we threw in jail?" Yeah. Well, they're down at the courthouse. and they're preaching and teaching Jesus. And people are getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. Blind eyes are being opened. Deaf ears are being unstopped. Amen. Everywhere they preach at this name, there's power. Everywhere they proclaim this message. Amen. God is performing signs and wonders and confirming His Word. Praise the Lord. And so they went down to the courthouse. And they said, did not we command you not to preach or teach anymore in that name? And they said, yes, you did. But whether is more important that we should obey the commandments of men or the commandments of God? Amen. That's how they opened, or how they answered him. And they said, what are we going to do with these men? Wouldn't it be wonderful if the world could say, what are we going to do with those apostolics? What are we going to do with those Pentecostals? Amen. Because the power of God is among them. The power of God is upon them. Everywhere they proclaim this name. Amen. God is in their midst. God is there. God is performing miracles. God is manifesting His glory. What are we going to do with them? Some of them want to throw them back in jail. I imagine some of them say, well, what good would that do? We've already tried that. And the jail won't hold them. Some of them said, why don't we just kill them? But there was a man that spoke up. A teacher by the name of Gamaliel, a Pharisee. And Gamaliel said unto them, he said, refrain from these men and let them alone. Thank God that God can even use an unbeliever. Amen. For His purpose. Amen. When God is in the midst of His people. Gamaliel said, why don't we just leave these men alone? He said, because if this council or their work is of men, it will come to nothing. But he said, but if it is of God, you can't do anything to overthrow it. If this is of God, you can't do anything to stop it. Have you ever tried to stop a freight train? Have you ever tried to harness, amen, the power of a locomotive? Have you ever tried to lasso a cyclone? I want you to know that if it's of God, there's nothing that you can do to prevent it. Because God is God. God is able to deliver His people. And He will. Hallelujah. Would you, the musicians come. And so they agreed. They agreed with Gamaliel. And they called the apostles, the Bible says, and they beat them, and they commanded them that they should not speak anymore in the name of Jesus. And they let them go. But you know what? They just kept on preaching Jesus. They just kept on, amen, proclaiming the power of God. And God just kept on confirming His Word with signs following. We can't stop. We can't bow to the pressure of the world. We can't bow to the pressure of the religious establishment. We can't bow down to peer pressure. We cannot bow down to our fears and our anxiety. We've got to preach Jesus. We've got to preach that name that is above every name. And the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Would you stand tonight and let's worship Jesus. We're unashamed and we're unafraid. We will not bow down. We will not give in. We will not give up. But we'll proclaim Jesus. We'll proclaim that holy name. We'll proclaim the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah, His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm telling you, there's no power except by the name of Jesus. Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's praise His name. Let's glorify Him tonight.
In the name of salvation, in the name of healing, in the name of...
Oh, there's power in the name.
And aid. Protection in the name of...
Jesus.
There's deliverance in the name of...
Jesus.
Freedom in the name of...
Hallelujah, there's power tonight.
Everything I need is in that name.
Oh, yes.
Whatever
you need from God.
I would have known.
The answer's in Jesus. Let's gather around. Let's gather in prayer tonight. Amen. Let's form a ring of fire. Let's form a ring of fire around these altars. Let's lift up our senses to the name of Jesus. Let's lift our praise to the King of Kings. Let's exalt Him. Let's lift our voice in praise to that name tonight. The name of Jesus. The name that's above all names. Hallelujah. Worship the Lord. Magnify that name.
Everything I need.
If you need touch, if you need healing, if you need deliverance, if you need faith, if you need direction, you'll find it in the name of Jesus. You'll find it in the Son.